because I'm fucking stupid. I don't give a fuck.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening?
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird. Boom.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy. You only fuck that. Black D. Out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole. Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. It is Thursday, March 22nd, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. It's 6 days away from my birthday and whatnot. Man, this is going to be a very interesting show. It's going to be a lot different than a lot of different shows I've done over these past over a year, year and a half I've done this show. I have a lot of other stuff to talk about. I have a lot of wrestling to cover, Raw. I watched the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Kurt Russell reunion. I watched bits and pieces of the TNA pay-per-view, enough to talk about it. A couple other random things as well. One thing I have to address from the beginning of the show, and this is going to take a little bit because I really got to explain from start to finish how this show came about, everything about this show, and what's up now. So to Tarantino this a little bit, more or less got to let you know what the current situation is, and then I'll bring you from start until now and to what led to it and all of that stuff. Well, the fact of the matter is Eric is no longer part of the show. There was a lot of things that led to this, and again, it was my decision before I, go anywhere else with it, and I'm going to explain it. Before I do so, let me explain to you how this show started, for those who don't know. Eric used to run a show with a couple of his friends. It was called The Golden Cravat. And he did the show with his friends, and it was, they did their thing. They did what they were doing. They had on a lot of guests and stuff like that. It caught my attention because they were having on a lot of people from CZW and stuff like that. They had on all four members of the Blackout at the time. It was, Joker, Eddie Kingston, Geez, back then it was Sabian, and Ruckus. And, they had everybody on. They had B-Boy on the show. They had a good amount of guests and stuff, so it drew me in. Now, they did what they did, and you know, I had different criticism for him and stuff, because I'm always just a critical type person. Part of that is why I'm kind of, I would guess, good at doing this show, because I have a lot to say about a lot of things. You know, I have a lot of criticism for a lot of things. So I gave my honest criticism towards it, said what I liked, what I didn't like. Well, Eric pretty much contacted me. I had never met Eric prior to that at all whatsoever. He lives in Pennsylvania, in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I live in Jersey over by Seaside and all of that, where they filmed that horrible show at. So, you know, he just got to talking with me over the internet and this and that. And then at some point, I don't even know how it came about, but he had more or less asked if, you know, we could chat on the phone, because he saw that I knew a lot about wrestling. So I end up getting him on the phone. We talk about a lot of stuff. He was very interested in a lot of, you know, this knowledge of wrestling that I had. And, you know, I've been attending indie shows for the better part of 10, 15 years, I think. At this point, I've regularly attended CZW for 12 years, more or less. And so, you know, I had a lot to offer as far as, you know, different things that are going on and everything like that. So we got to talking, and, you know, one of a guy who I was really good friends with, as far as much of a fan can be friends with somebody, I was friends through being a fan, but became very close with Trent Acid. And, you know, Trent had his things, Trent had his ups and downs, and there was a lot of stuff going on with Trent, obviously. Well, we got to talking, you know, me and Eric had told me more or less he was going to have Trent on the show. And he was asking me, you know, things to ask, you know, stuff that, you know, questions that might bring out, you know, some extra stuff, kind of like insider type stuff that, you know, I could help offer to the interview and, like, help out, just like, you know, chipping in this and that. So that was all cool. That was this and that. Well, before the date came that he was to interview Trent and Trent was to come on his show, Trent passed away. So, of course, that sparked a whole lot more conversation, me being as close to Trent as I was, you know, again, as far as a fan can be. And then it more or less got turned into Eric obviously was not going to have Trent on anymore, and then it was going to be a tribute show that he was going to do for Trent. And I was thrilled with the fact that he was going to do this. I mean, he rounded up one hell of a tribute show. I'm sure it's somewhere still archived online. I'll have to dig it up after this show, like over the weekend, and I'll repost it, because it is what launched, you know, what I do. So I, you know, he asked me to be a part of the show, you know, to just call in and just, you know, say my part, and I did that. And then more or less asked me, you know, just hang out on the phone, just hang out, listen on the phone, and I did. And it was rough, but they put on a hell of a show. Stemming off of that, Eric got the idea that he wanted to add me as another host on his show. Well, when he went back to his friends and he told them of his plans that he wanted to have me part of the show, they were not with it. Now, mind you, up until that point, I had zero time on the radio. I had never called into a radio show. I had never had any dreams of being on the radio or hosting a show or podcast. I had no knowledge of any of this stuff, and Eric completely just dug what I was saying, dug, you know, whatever the case was. And I was part of that, you know, a small part of that, just didn't say my piece. Well, after that, like I said, he wanted me to be part of the show. His friends were not down with it. They were under the assumption that I would try to take over. Now, I don't know how that would have turned out in the long run. I know as far as me starting out, I was not very good, so I don't know about taking over immediately. In the long run, I don't know. I mean, they ended up not running that show anymore shortly after. Well, I'm just jumping ahead. Eric, pretty much out of nowhere, said, I want to give you your own show. And I couldn't have been more shocked, because my own show, again, I called in a radio show for, you know, 10 minutes to give my, you know, thoughts and opinions and all of that on, you know, a guy that I highly respected and was really close talking to and stuff, and, you know, he passed away. So that was the extent of it. There was no, my own show, I had no knowledge of how this would even come about. Like, oh, what do you mean? So, you know, right off, launched a show, which again was completely Eric's doing, completely his idea, completely something I never asked for, never expected, didn't even know how I was going to do it. So Eric's, you know, experience, so to speak, in podcasting pretty much walked me into it. And I did my first show at Johnny Cashmere, who I was obviously, you know, also close talking to and stuff like that. He was, you know, he was nice enough to be my first guest and all that. And, you know, shortly after, you know, I had a bunch of different guests. And, you know, guys have always been cool with me at the shows, so it was no problem as far as getting guests on my end. That was my doing. But, and that was pretty much the whole start of it. Well, you know, if you listen from start till now type thing, I got tremendously better at doing the show. And this isn't me just being arrogant or anything like that. I mean, you could ask anybody who listened it from the start until now. And it's just something that's happened with me. And honestly, to also add to that, like, if you look at me and Eric, or if you know me and Eric personally, we are two completely different people. I mean, honestly, you would never find the two of us in the same room. If this coincidence and these circumstances didn't bring us together as, you know, co-hosts and to work together. So it was cool and stuff like that, and I had nothing against that or anything like that, but this is just like, we are two completely different sides of the spectrum. So, all right, well, we did the show, you know, for all this time. It's now been about a year and a half. Well, throughout the time, we've had some problems. When Eric first, when we started doing this, he controlled what would be called the switchboard, whatever, you know, I do the sound drops and the clips and all that with. Well, I mean, there was a lot of times where, you know, I would send him the clips that we wanted to play. At the beginning, there was no sound drops, there was no any of that. And so I, would send him the clips I wanted to play for breaks or whatever the case may be. Half the time, I'd be like, all right, you know, we want to play this clip. And he'd go, well, it's not working. Blog Talk's acting stupid. Blog Talk is completely fucking up. So I'm just like, all right, well, Blog Talk, you know, what have you. And I'm like, cool, you know. Well, and, you know, as time went on, it seemed to be a little bit more and more of that stuff. Well, this is messing up. This is messing up. That's messing up. This is messing up. So over time, I decided, listen, let me do that. Let me teach me how to do the sound drop thing or the clip thing, and we'll do the clip thing. And then I got used to the clip thing, and I was like, well, a 2-second clip, that would be a sound drop. And I'm a huge fan of Howard Stern and Adam Carolla and all of that stuff. And, you know, I like the sound drops thing. I think it's fun. You know, it's a funny way to add to the conversation and to a show. And, it, you know, good comedic stuff. So I decided to do that. At this point, I have probably 300 clips on this soundboard, and it's ridiculous to even handle. So that's that. So all of a sudden, you know, when I took over that part of things, Blog Talk never acted stupid again. Like, every single thing I want to play plays. I've never had a problem. So, again, I mean, I'm not going to just say he was wrong or anything like that, but since I took it over, there was no problems. Okay, moving on. Another issue was, on several occasions, now Eric has a completely different work schedule for me too. So this isn't, you know, hey, you can handle it, you can't handle it. I don't know. I'm in a different state than Eric. I'm on a whole different spectrum. So, but there were several occasions where Eric straight up fell asleep on the air. And everybody listening knew what was up, because all of a sudden I didn't have a co-host and you could hear him breathing. And it's comedic. It's definitely comedic. It's not something that, again, at the time wasn't just like, oh, fuck yeah. I mean, I was mad. Definitely mad. I mean, I'm learning as I'm going, but when you all of a sudden in the middle of the show get stranded, it's a lot to deal with. So that's that. And then there also became problems where I don't know what goes on in his house. I don't know what goes on with his family, but we'd be halfway or three quarters of the way through the show, all of a sudden it sounded like a zombie apocalypse or like a Wolverine just broke into his room, and you just heard like a door more or less sounded like it got kicked in, and then like all sorts of shuffling and havoc, and then he'd say something along the lines of, "I'm on the show, I'm on the air, I'm on the air," and then you'd hear like, "I don't care," and then the phone would just hang up, and then it was just like, "Oh shit, okay, I'm by myself." So that was more or less like the things that I was dealing with. Now, of course, at the time, like I said, I would get mad. I would, at the time, and then a day or two would go by, and I'd get over it again. I mean, these are just things that have happened, and this isn't, again, they're contributing factors when it comes down to the end of things, but, and earlier this year, it was more or less like last year into this year type thing. And I decided to try to bring on a friend of mine, Stan, who, you know, lives up north where I used to live, and we used to watch wrestling together a lot. So I tried to have him call in and more or less kind of be like a third host to try to alleviate, some stress on Eric, some stress on me, just add content to the show, and it made it easy on everybody else. It really did. And we covered a lot of football, because I always cover football, which I will be talking about later, because there's been a lot of happenings in the world of football. So it helped a lot. We would go over the NFL stuff. We'd be going over all of that, and everything worked. But what would happen is Stan, you know, his work schedule didn't line up with it. And pretty much around the time football ended, Stan pretty much let me know that I can't do it. He's like, "Dude, I can't do it. I don't have it in my schedule to be able to do that. I just can't. I can't do it." He's like, "I love doing it. I enjoy it. If the timing was different or the schedule for it was different, I'd be all over it. I love it. You guys do great, but I can't do it." So it was bad because that ended right at the time that football ended. So now we were putting out a good hour worth of content about football. So football goes away. Our third host, that I mean, he was only, you know, with us for a few months doing the show and stuff, but it, like I said, it did add a lot of content. Eric might not have had, you know, a whole lot to say about Raw, but then maybe Stan had something to add, or, you know, this, and it really complimented everybody. So I think it worked really well. Eric later, you know, after I had gotten to this discussion with him the other day for what happened, Eric let me know that he thought when Stan came in that I was trying to replace him, which honestly, swear to God, that was not the plan. The plan was to alleviate stress on all of us, Eric included, very much so, and just make it easier on the whole show to work easier. And you had to put in less time. You had to put in less effort. You had to gather less content. You had three different opinions instead of two. If one opinion falls flat, it's not exposed as much. It's just the other guy jumps in and you're good. So that was that. But when we lost that hour worth of content and we lost Stan and all that, now the pressure was on us to step it up. Had to come with content. And I did so. I really did. Like I've been looking up more and more shows. I've been trying to watch more and more wrestling. I've been trying to do everything I can. And I'm just, like, writing stuff down all week. I'll see something on TV or I'll see something I think is funny, and I'll just jot it down and then, like, try to, like, wrap it all up. And mind you, I work 6 days a week. I work 47 hours a week. So it's not like I'm unemployed and Eric's working his ass off, but I got content. Like, no, I mean, you know, he's doing his job, I'm doing my job, and then we're pulling a show together once a week. So everything in what ended up happening is Eric's schedule started to conflict with the show. He started to not have enough time. He started to not have a place to do the show because it became apparent that doing the show in his house was just a bad idea. It was just nonstop interruptions, and he just wasn't able to do it comfortably. So he would try to find other places to do the show. This wasn't always a possibility, and it just felt like he just didn't want to do it. It felt like, he was just kind of just hanging in there because he was a part of it and he wasn't trying to bail out. And I can't completely speak for him to say that, yeah, you know, he was gung-ho for it, or, yeah, he was all out. But he did tell me, you know, in this last discussion that he did. Like, he sometimes would just kind of, like, dread having to do the show on Thursdays because it was a lot. It was being on the phone for 3-4 hours. It was, you know, if I had a guest, and that's another thing. If I had a guest, if I had an interview, Eric pretty much didn't say anything. He would sit there throughout the interview. I'd have 2 pages worth of, you know, questions, interview questions, all of that for our guest. Eric might have had 2 or 3 questions after everything was said and done, and it became more and more that he didn't even have 2 or 3 questions. So, now, I mean, you could put that any way you want. I mean, honestly, I feel like I tried to cover all bases with these guys, so it wasn't like, hey, Eric, what the fuck, you're not asking anything. It wasn't anything like that, but also, I mean, Jesus, this guy's got to sit on the phone for 1.5 hours and just keep his mouth shut while he listens to someone talk. I don't know if I could just hold the phone to my ear for 1.5 hours, so without speaking into it. So, and then, you know, you would get the background noise, and you would get the shuffling, and you would get, you know, whatever things he was doing while trying to, you know, sit on the phone for 1 hour without talking, or 1.5 hours. So, again, I understand, but it definitely became troublesome to me when I'm trying to do an interview, and then I'm getting ruffling and shuffling and all of this. And I would, here and there, I'd mute them, but I don't like to just do that. If I have someone on, I like to have them on. I don't want to just have to keep muting them, otherwise, why are they on? So, anyway, that was that, but, you know, the past couple of weeks, it became really, really, this was just kind of like the last straw, I guess you would say. It just became very obvious that he just wasn't into it anymore. I got a text from him 2 weeks ago, not last week, and more or less said, yeah, I can't call in until 9:40. So, to me, I said, well, that's all right, because I had UHA Nation coming on at 9, so I figured, hey, you know, I'll go at least 40 minutes with that guy, and then by then, Eric will be on, we could break into the other content, and if you remember, that was the show that I started all this drama and stuff with a certain, you know, group of retards. So there was that stuff, I had all that on my mind, I had all that, so Eric wasn't coming on for 40 minutes. That would have worked out perfectly, and to none of his fault, UHA Nation was about 40 minutes late. So I babbled and spun in circles by myself for 40 minutes, didn't know what to do with myself, and then finally, UHA came on, and immediately, like soon after, Eric calls up. Well, Eric sends me a message just saying, don't put me on until after the interview. So I did that. Well, I went probably, you know, a half hour, 40 minutes with UHA, something like 40 minutes. So now, do the math, you know, roughly 1.5 hours, 1 hour 35 minutes into the show, and now I just finally put Eric on. And now, by then, I mean, we hadn't talked all week or anything like that, so this whole bombshell stuff I did with DCW and stuff like that, Eric didn't have a clue what he was going into. Like, he had no clue, and, I mean, he could very easily have been like, dude, what did you pull me into, you know? But, no, he rolled with it and all that. No, everything was fine. There was no beef that came out of that or anything like that. So that was done. Then comes down, you know, last week, mind you, I didn't talk to Eric a single time from that Thursday until the following Thursday, and I'm at work, it's like 12:01, and I get a text, I have nowhere to do the show, and I know you don't like me doing it at my house. And, you know, to clarify, and like I told him the same thing, it's not like I don't like you doing it at your house. I don't like people busting your door down during the show and making us sound like 12-year-olds when the phone gets ripped out of your hands. Like, that's kind of ridiculous. Like I said, my birthday's in 6 days. I'm going to be 34. So, little difficult on me to look anywhere like I'm learning and like I'm getting better at the show when those type of things happen. So it's not a fact that I don't want you doing it at your house. It's fucking havoc goes down when you're at your house. So I don't want that happening. I mean, if you're not able to prevent that, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't like that. So, you know, my thing always too, you know, I didn't have to say it. It goes without saying, we do this shit from cell phones. So you could go sit in your car, you could walk to a park, you could, you know, take some notes and just do whatever you want, but you really don't need to be glued to a computer or in a house or in anywhere, but that's your choice. So everything in, I get this this message at, you know, like 12, 1 o'clock, I can't do it. So now I'm like, holy shit, I got a no co-host tonight. Well, I had Greg Excellent, which ended up being an awesome interview. I really, really appreciated the interview. Maybe, you know, a good hour and a half. Dude was great. But the other thing that bothered me about that is not just the fact that he wasn't able to do the show. It did bother me, and, you know, everything in retrospect, I have zero problem with Eric. Me and Eric are good, but I had to make the decisions I had to make because of some of these circumstances, which is why I'm you know, explaining it. I'm not, you know, bashing him or anything like that. But it did bother me a little bit, quite a bit, I'd say, that I got a text that he had nowhere to do the show. He didn't say, you know, just threw my phone off a bridge. He texted me, and I don't text back. He knows that. I'll get your text, and that's it. And I'll read it, and we could talk, because that's how I communicate that way. So he knows I get off work at 6:30. Many a weeks that we did the show, I couldn't even get home from my job. Like, I'd punch out, and I couldn't even get home, which is 15 minutes away, without Eric calling me three times. Well, this is a day where he can't be on the show, and again, he's not saying, hey, I got plans. He's just saying, I don't have anywhere to do the show. So I would think, as a co-host, you would have the decency to call the other guy and say, hey, dude, you know, you good with it, or, you know, what's up? Nothing. You know, everything goes. I get everything ready for the show, whatever clips I'm going to play, whatever, you know, questions. I got to wrap everything up, make it all solid for, so I got this interview with Greg Excellent, so I could do that. Again, no call, no nothing. As far as I know, Eric's not in the chat room. He's not listening. You got nowhere to do it. You don't want to be at home doing it because something might happen, but you can't even tune in. Okay, that's cool. I mean, that's your prerogative. So, I mean, show ends. I sit there for about an hour and a half. About an hour later, I start getting, like, messages. Hey, how'd the show go? How'd the show go? You know, not one of those messages was Eric. So I kind of felt weird about that, you know, because, like, I had to pull it together, and I had to do what I had to do, and I wasn't taking any, you know, shots at Eric on the show. I wasn't trying to, you know, bash him and say, oh, this motherfucker, or, you know, anything. I was just like, all right, you know, that's kind of fucked, you know. And so I was like, all right, well, pretty much made the decision Friday that this is it. You know, I'm just going to do the show by myself. Because honestly, like, one of my biggest flaws is if I don't know what's going to go on, I'll just stammer and sound like a moron. If I know that I'm going into it by myself, like I did tonight, I'm not taking calls tonight, I'm not going to have a guest tonight, I'm going to talk for as long as I can fucking talk, and then next week I'll take calls, I have a guest, I could bring on guest hosts in the future, I could do all sorts of things, and I'm open to all of it. But as of right now, I decided I'm doing the show by myself, because I am doing everything above and beyond to try to make the show better. And it just seems like Eric's being there for the sake of being there. And, like, he said it himself, that there was weeks that he actually dreaded the show being on, because it was something that he had to do. Well, this has never been a chore to me. This is something that I like to do. And it was something that Eric liked to do. Now, again, no ill will towards him, anything like that. I had to make this decision for the better of the show. So that's pretty much where that's at. Again, I thanked Eric, and I thank him again on the air that, you know, he got me into this to begin with, because I never, ever would have even thought about getting into radio or podcast. But it didn't even cross my mind. So unless it was for him, I would have never, ever done this. So I definitely thank him for that. Eric, I mean, in the future, I told him, you know, you go to a show, you want to call in, you want to, you know, give us a recap of that show. By all means, you want to call in, you know, shit, we do, you know, I'm sure you're going to watch WrestleMania. Well, I'll watch WrestleMania for sure. And, hey, man, you want to call in sometime after WrestleMania and, you know, we'll run down what you thought about that? Great. No problem. This isn't by any means Eric being banned from the show or anything like that. This is just a more or less Eric is no longer my weekly co-host. And it sucks, but honestly, I think it's for the best. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I mean, like I said, this is my decision and nobody else's. Eric really didn't seem very against it when everything was said and done. So that's all I could say. Well, I mean, having that been done, I think I'm done with this topic. I just wanted everybody to know I have a lot of people who have listened for a while, and all of a sudden Eric's not on the show anymore, and he was clearly the co-host the entire time. You know, people are going to go, well, you know, what happened? And I can't, at least I can just refer him back to this episode. I'm not going to rehash it every week. I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm sorry if I bored anybody. But I had to get the story out. I had to get down, you know, the respect that Eric is due for getting me into this and the reason why he's no longer on the show, which again goes back to me, but you know, that's that. All right. Well, as I look up and there's a horrible, horrible wrestling show going on my TV, I guess I'll, kind of recap the pieces I saw of TNA this Saturday, or Sunday. Oh, I didn't even know what day it was. Well, Sunday I was watching bits and pieces of TNA while I was also sending my friend Missionary over there at the Wrestling Soup a lot of clips and audio and this and that, so he can make me a new intro, or a couple new intros, actually. He's awesome at it. He's the one that made our intro that you hear every week right now, and he's going to be working on a couple more. So, yeah, big shout out to him. He actually does a show the same night as me, so, you know, but check him out on the archive. Wrestling Soup is looking awesome. So, anyway, I got to skip around on this because I really did not watch the whole pay-per-view by any stretch. Like, I would just click on a different window and start watching other stuff. And, you know. So, that was that. Started out at James Storm versus Bully Ray. I can't watch that. I just... Storm's not that bad. I've always been the furthest thing from a Dudley fan. The furthest thing from a Dudley fan. When they were in ECW and they... and they were doing, you know, the whole Dudley thing and all of that. The only Dudley I liked at that point was Spike. And, you know, since then, that has kind of dwindled a little bit because, you know, he hasn't done a whole lot and he's had a bad attitude in a couple different situations. But, you know, I'm not a worker, so what do I know? So that whatever happened there, James Storm got number one contender. So, yeah, you're just leading back to him fighting Robert Roode again because, you know, they break up a tag team and you got to have them fight each other 8,000 times before they can have their own angle. Then you had Austin Aries defending his TNA X Division Championship against Zema Ion. And this was a good match. I like this match a lot. Went back and forth pretty well. You really didn't have, like, a clear cut, oh, this guy is just going to clearly win. They tried to do the, like, hairspray spot where Zema would pull out the hairspray and spray him and stuff. And he wrestled for, like, a minute with hairspray in his tights. I don't know how that worked out for him, but somehow it did. And then they did that whole thing. He was... quote-unquote blinded, and then Aries pulled out top rope powerbomb, ended up finishing him with the brainbuster in the last chancery, you know, tapped out at Ion and kept his title. I thought that was a pretty good match, which is good because honestly I had no ambition to continue watching this if it was just as bad as like the first thing that I saw. I really didn't care. Tim saying Zema Ion's a moron. I don't know. I like him. He's a heel and all that stuff. But in the same token, let's not be crazy. I mean, you know, the whole, I know the Jesse Sorensen thing, you know, everybody came down on Zima and all that, but that was heel work on top of Jesse botching that completely. He's done the same exact move in every one of his matches, and since then, they clearly would have told him never do that again if they thought it was his fault, and he's nailed it on everybody, and nobody's gotten hurt. So I don't know if, you know, any of that is, you know, where the animosity towards him comes from, but I think he's awesome. So there's that. Then after that, you had Samoa Joe and Magnus, who were the champions, the tag team champions, defending against Matt Morgan and Crimson. This was pretty much one of those things where you had the two tag team partners that weren't getting along, and, you know, they both wanted to steal the shine of the other one, and Crimson was kind of, you know, being the dick about it, and he would tag himself in and all of that. And then Matt Morgan more or less did the same thing to get him back, and Crimson more or less bailed on him and then just let him get beat up by Joe and Magnus. And then, you know, from there, I mean, Crimson even came in and hit a spear on Morgan and, you know, helped them beat him more or less. So that happened, so you're looking more or less, you know, heel turn type business there. So that's their big storyline. And after the match, it's funny, too, because, you know, you get, like, a straight-up audible through the mics, like, where Matt Morgan's leaning out of the ring, and he goes, fuck you, I don't need your ass. And it's like, all right, well, yeah, there you go. That's what that is. So, yeah, it was all right, but it was, you know, classic. We're running an angle, so we're not going to really do, like, a full-out match, and it was like that. Then they had Robbie E come out and do this long, ridiculous segment with Rob Terry. And honestly, I still far prefer, even though I hate everything that has to do with the Jersey Shore, if I had to pick, I would definitely take Robbie E's gimmick over Zack Ryder any day of the week, year, month, whatever. I really can't stand Zack Ryder. But he's doing that thing, and, you know, he's out there spiking his goddamn hair, and, you know, they got this, like, laptop or, you know, iPad type thing, you know, with the list on it, and only certain people who are on the list will get in the club. They have, like, the ropes and the whole shit they bring out with them, and the velvet rope. So he's got, like, a open challenge going, and he goes way too long, and, you know, no one in the back wants to fight, and everyone's booked, and then everyone here. Oh, the fans, you want to fight? No, you're fat. No, all three of you weigh 400 pounds each. Like, you know, the whole thing like that. He's just ripping apart the fans and all that. All of a sudden, you know, he thinks it's all done. Devon comes through the crowd. I don't know. See, I'm not, like, the most current on TNA because it sickens me every time I tune into it. So this will probably be the last full TNA show I watch in a long time. I generally have it on my show. I have it on my TV while I do the show every week, but it's nowhere near, like, really paid attention to. Every once in a while, I look up, it's muted, and I'll just be, what the fuck is this? What is he wearing? Like, that type of thing. Like, Sting, like, oh, geez, Sting, what are you doing now? Oh, man, Kurt Angle lost more weight. Look at that. Jeez. So this is more or less my TNA viewing. I didn't know where Devon was. I don't care where Devon was. All of a sudden, Devon comes through the crowd, and he gets this enormous pop. I don't know when Devon got so over, but apparently since the last time I watched it, the guy got just a monster pop, like, they're chanting, Devon, Devon, Devon. Like, they're going nuts. So I was just like, wow, all right. So now he's playing tough guy. Like, he's beating down Robbie E and all that. And then he ends up just crushing him with the spine buster to win it. And yeah, he's the new TV champion. So, all right. Gail Kim versus Madison Rayne. Yeah, I don't think I watched that. Did I? No, I didn't watch that. Not really sure how it went. I don't think, well, Gail Kim's, she's a good wrestler, and But I don't know. I can't speak much for them because I really don't watch that much of the TNA product, like I said. Then you had I honestly like had a huge lapse of watching this show, and I'm not really sure how much more of this I watched. I pretty much not even intentionally, but like I just had other stuff going on, and I was clicking all over the place, and I just really wasn't paying attention. So I pretty much missed everything else that happened, and then I like kind of like tuned back in towards the main event, and I think at that point I was listening to music, and again had TNA muted. Big surprise. But AJ Styles and Mr. Anderson beat Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. Which again is another one of these feuds that they've just beat to death. I don't know how many times they're going to put AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels in the ring together. I mean, the guys were tearing it up on the indie scene in 2001, 2001, USA Pro, Ring of Honor, Jersey All Pro, you name it. They were all over the place working phenomenal matches. Now, you know, 10, 12 years later, we really need to keep seeing the same fucking matchup. I mean, do something with your talent other than, you know, what's been done for a friggin' decade. I mean, it's just crazy. I just didn't see it. I just have no interest in that. Kurt Angle and Jeff Hardy had a match, apparently. Angle won it. I mean, I don't know who's going to win in the death pool, but neither one of these guys are doing good in life. So, Kurt Angle's not even close to the Kurt Angle that, you know, we all know and love as far as, you know, Kurt Angle's career and, you know, the stellar matches he's had in the past. It's just, it's not even a possibility anymore. This shit is ridiculous. He looks fucking sickly. So, and then Jeff Hardy, you know, he just paints himself like 18 colors and comes out, and I haven't been able to give him 2 ounces of respect since he did that shit, that 30-second match with Sting where he was so fucked up that Sting had to forcibly finish him, and it wasn't a work, it wasn't any of that. It was just being a complete piece of shit in the ring and having a guy who's a legend. I mean, he may treat himself like he's not a legend anymore because, you know, now he's the Joker, and I don't know what other gimmicks he's going to have next, but it's kind of sad to see a legend do what Sting's done. But Sting's never needed the money, you know. He's bored in family, you know. He's selling cheese and milk and all that other stuff. So he's never needed the money, and it's more or less whatever's going to amuse Sting is what he's going to do. He's not so concerned with, you know, well, if I'm ruined here, I'll never make another dime. Like, nah, he never needed to wrestle. It's been a hobby from day one from him. That's why he could stay away from WWE. He's chosen to, and he doesn't have to. He never has to work there if he doesn't want to. It's not about the money. So, and apparently he stepped down as GM and turned it over to Hogan, from what Tim's saying. Anyway, he fought this match with Robert Roode, and ended up where Roode, you know, he's fighting him, and then they have Sting like counter Roode and hit a Scorpion Death Drop, but then like he supposedly like clipped his head on a chair or something, like, so it was kind of like a planned botch and then Roode gets the pinfall, then Rude's like duct taping him to the corner, and then he pulls Dixie over, or Dixie runs in, or one or the other. Dixie ends up in the ring, and now she's standing in front of him, and then I think I had the audio back on because I want to know what was going on, and I still don't know. But they're chanting fire Roode, and you know, and he's acting like he's going to hit her with the chair, and then he doesn't, and then he just like yells at her some more, and you know, she's supposed to be the owner, but can't like send him home, can't do anything, just cries in the corner on top of Sting, and then eventually like he doesn't get hurt, doesn't have anything happen other than getting taped to the ropes, and then pretty much gets like untaped as they go off air. So I can't wrap my head around that. I don't know what the purpose of that is. I don't know what I'm supposed to take from that other than thank God I didn't pay for this. And Yeah, that's TNA in a nutshell. So now, now Eric Young is in his drawers in the ring. And, chicks are playing with his beard. And they're going to swerve him any minute. So, I don't know. That's all I got as far as TNA. I'm going to cover a bunch of other stuff. I think I have talked for a good 45 minutes now. So let me play something. Hold on. Let me see. Play a song or something real quick, and then I'll come back. And like I said, I got the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla stuff to go over. I got Raw. I got tons of stuff. So anyway, well, play some Redman. Come back in about 3 minutes.
Oh. Microphone check 1-2. Hey, you better get down, man.
Whatever, man.
Hey, you better get this on,
man. Whatever, man.
You saying
whatever, man.
Hey, yo.
Whatever, man.
Check it, cool
beat. Keep it banging, keep it swinging.
Daughter way out past a curfew, hard bumble commercial. We don't give a fuck when we smoked out in the land that's doped out.
Like that?
No doubt. From this bomb weed, I cop from the street. Get you open like butt cheeks from girls who be freaks. Hey yo, can I be SWB?
You the one, nigga.
Showgun,
I'm rolling with the 40 pack of niggas. Get my weed from Branson, cause this sack's bigger. Don't give me that, nigga. While I clap, lyrically tap, call back. Ferocious, causing comatosis to collapse. So cheeky eyed, I see people waving on the map. I make it hotter than your thermostat. Form MCs with rough megahertz, so call me Funk Dr. Verbal Starburst. Lyrical expert, your boombox better form a union, cause I leave your circus overworked. Word bomb, niggas front like they want it. But I be in the 500 with these steadily getting blunted. Damn, nigga, you cool at what you spittin'. So why you holding the blunt so long, politicking? I'm acing blunts with the technician. I'm electrician. I don't got a pot to piss in, but still spend my last on hydroglycerin. I keep it live, don't jive. Rolling Dutchess, that's masters like the Furious Five. I keep your crew cheeky eye for bitches after dark. Why not? Why we choke on this? Yo, you ready to roll this weed up?
Whatever, man.
You ready to knock the cigar out?
Whatever, man.
You ready to get this cheddar?
Whatever, man.
You ready to start this shit up?
Whatever.
I smoke with a lot of college students. Most of them wasn't graduating and they knew it.
You know the weed slang?
Yeah, boy, I speak it fluent. I like your college dorm with my entourage from doing. Bigger they come, harder they fall. That goes for knuckleheads, MCs, pussy walls and all. I lit my first L before I started to crawl. I got my ass whooped when I had my first brawl. But things changed since I was 12 years old. I specialize in wrecking mics and area codes now. PPP, the kind of niggas that a bug with you, smoke bug with you, later on stick a slug in you. Everything that's light green ain't the ball, bitch. I got different forms to make you lose your car, bitch. See my lips, you ain't hitting unless you got 10 on it, get on it, or get the fuck out my sight. You ready to roll this weed up?
Whatever, man.
You ready to rob this nigga?
Whatever, man.
You ready to fuck, bitch?
Yo, whatever, man.
You ready to guzzle this liquor?
Whatever, man. Whatever, man.
Yeah, classic Redman stuff. So anyway, all right, well, real quick, and I'm not going to just go on and on about, oh, look what I'm doing, but I do want to, you know, make people aware of some of the things I have done for the show thus far, just in the past week. I finally did receive the Yakuza Kick Radio shirts. Anyone out there who would like one, you just got to shoot me your address. I am not charging for the shirts. I paid for them. I just want to help promote the show. I just want to promote the show any way possible. I got larges and extra larges, and anyone who wants one, just shoot me your address, you know, privately, obviously, and I'll get one out to you. I got a handful of people I got to ship shirts out to. I'm going to get that going this weekend. I'm off on Sunday, so I could, do all of that. I'll probably get the packaging before then. Obviously, can't go to the post office on Sunday. So anyway, that's that. I think they came out great. Yolanda did the shirts from Gimmicks Tees, and she's very good at what she does. So, I had a design created, kind of collaboration from George McIntyre helped, and then my brother kind of updated it, and, there was a lot of tweaking and different stuff going on. But anyone that's interested, just shoot me a private message or whatever with the address, and I'll, and the size, and I'll ship one out to you. It's not a problem. It's something I wanted to do for all the listeners. I like the shirts myself. And, maybe people see you wearing it and ask you what it is, and, get me another listener. So that's all I'm doing it for. So there's that. There's also, for anybody who had my show subscribed through iTunes, you got to do it again. I changed the link. Because this was another thing, not to harp on it, but I had asked Eric only a million times. When he set the show up, the link that he set, that he chose, I guess you could type in whatever you want to be the link. It's always going to be blogtalkradio.com/whatever, Well, he chose YKR Online. Which to me from the start, I was like, that's kind of confusing. Like, was that your only option? Or, cause again, I don't know how to do, I don't know anything about it. So I don't know if, there was a selection. I don't know if you just got hit with something. I mean, sometimes, you go to sign in somewhere, they'll be like, oh, there's a JCAT already. You'd be like, you're JCAT 8462 now or something like that. So I don't know what happened. I was just like, but every time I asked him, he said, oh, yeah. Never happened. So as soon as this decision made and I decided to, make all the changes I could, I went and changed it. And it's now www.blogtalkradio/Yakuza. Very simple. Anybody could, you could repeat that and be like, it's something with Blog Talk. I don't know. But it's Yakuza. Joan, Kim, anybody out there, seriously, I ain't lying. Shoot me your address. I'll send you a shirt. No problem. Anybody else listening, for real, I got a bunch of other wrestlers and stuff that I'm going to hit up when I see them at the shows and stuff. But and of course, anybody who's been a guest on my show that can fit in a large and an extra large. I don't have too many huge sizes. If you're enormous, that's not my issue. I don't know what to do with that. So that's the deal there. New link. Like I said, if you go to that link and it brings you to the Blog Talk site, they'll have a little iTunes symbol. Click on the iTunes symbol and then resubscribe to it. And it'll actually give you, if you already had it subscribed on iTunes, you'll now have two versions of the show. And I guess you can get rid of the other one and download whatever you want off the new one. So just to simplify everything, so it's easier to spread the word about, Yakuza is easier to remember than YKR Online when the name of the show is Yakuza Kick Radio. So that's that. I think that's all I've done for the show thus far. But random news, because I'm always all over the place. But the WWE is apparently getting together with, I forget the name of the company, whoever makes the Leprechaun movies. And is apparently going to bring the series back, which it really hasn't been away for long. But they are going to cast, guess who? Hornswoggle as the Leprechaun. Which, to me, sucks. I like the Leprechaun movies and as corny as they've gotten and all of that stuff. And kind of comedic and stuff like that. They were entertaining enough to me. And to me, Warwick Davis is one of the most talented small dudes, little people, however the PC way to say it, midget, I don't know, they don't like that, but whatever. That's fine. like Bill Burr says, that's a table, there's a lamp, and there's a midget. It's a word. It's not not a slur, it's just a statement. But now he's one of the most talented little people, whatever you want to call it. He was Wicket in Return of the Jedi, the little Ewok. He at the time, actually, when he did that, he was 18 years old. I think he was 18. He might have even been, no, I think he was like 15 or 13 or some shit like that. Man, I got my facts messed up. Yeah, because he was 18 years old when he was Willow. If anyone remembers the movie Willow, that was the same dude. And then he was the leprechaun. And, I mean, you could not create a creepier leprechaun than Warwick Davis played. So that's just my opinion. I think it's just ridiculous. And now it's going to be Hornswoggle, and I will not watch any of them, just as I have not watched any of these other WWE productions, all the various things that they've created, and such as...
I'm the chaperone.
Will not watch it. Thanks, though. So there's that. That's random news. I could get into so many different things. I guess I'll go with Raw. All right. I'm growing very, very tired of the WWE product. They've just done the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And it's getting kind of tired, a lot of it. No bending the rules. What's bending the rules? I have no idea what that is. So, CM Punk opens the show with a promo, and I'm a huge CM Punk fan, but the promo was just kind of blah. It was, how dare you talk about my family? People know about my family. It's no secret, but who are you to say something about it? Da 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 da. You crossed the line. I'm going to kick your ass. Da 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 da. So, it's just like they have overbuilt WrestleMania to the point where, like, I'm tired of these feuds. I mean, it doesn't help that the Cena-Rock feud started a friggin' year ago and they haven't had a match yet. They haven't had physical contact and it's been a year. So, the Edge movie, she means. Yes, I will not be watching the Edge movie either. And if it's anywhere in my control, I will never watch an Edge match again either. Never been an Edge fan. So, then, he's doing that, blah, 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 blah. And obviously, you know, this gimmick, this angle is the same thing that they've done a million times with CM Punk back from, you know, we had talked about with Greg Excellent last week. And, it's the same thing he was doing in Ring of Honor with Raven, which was an awesome feud, which went really, really well. And, you know, Jericho and Punk could definitely go well, but it's an overdone angle, and they're doing it well. Jericho then popped up on the satellite because apparently somebody from whatever feud they're building has to be not in the building. That's just like a kind of their thing. They're killing me with this edge talk. And his running hug. Jericho pops up via satellite, and he hits a fucking completely solid line. Cracked me up. As tired as I am of this angle and stuff, he killed me with this. Because, you know, Punk, you're right. I was wrong, and I will never mention your father again on television. But your sister's a drug addict. Oh, man. And then Punk gets super angry, and, you know, there's this, he's mad now, and now he wants to fight more. And okay, well, we're almost there. I just got one more week of just blathering on about it, and then we actually get matches. But, yeah, that was a pretty funny line. I like that quite a bit. Because I fed right into it, like, oh, wow, what do you mean? He's apologizing. Oh, but your sister. Like, holy shit. So then, the Big Show, who is, you know, not tall enough apparently because they need to film him from the floor when he comes out. Like, they got a cameraman, must be laying on his back, or maybe Hornswoggle's taping. I don't know, but the camera's pointing up and you see, like, the hole, like he's like a tree and you're, you know, and you're a squirrel or something, and you're just looking up, and it's like tons of Big Show standing above you. Like, oh, boy, here we go. So then they have Cody Rhodes comes out, and, you know, he plays like this whole Big Show-looking dumb compilation, which is funny because that's all I've ever seen out of Big Show is him looking dumb. So they did that, and, yeah, it's it was that whole thing. And during this match, funny thing happened that I didn't even notice during the show because I was so looking forward to the Big Show and Kane being over. And I think I might have skipped a little bit of that with the DVR. And then what happened was, apparently, you know, because Raw was in Philly, and a lot of these ECW guys just can't let it go. And some of them belong, you know, I don't know, practicing high jumps off of the Walt Whitman. But they're not. Instead, they just keep making themselves noticed. And, or the Ben Franklin. I'm not picky. So Shane Douglas showed up in a white long sleeve shirt with a lucha mask on. And like halfway through the match, rips his white shirt open. He's got the franchise shirt on and pulls the Mexican mask off. And he's now here's Shane Douglas. And now he breaks out in a little ECW chant because, again, the Philly fans can't let it go. You know, it's been like 10 years, but it's okay. Just keep it going. So they're doing that. They escort him out the building. He's acting like he's the most over in the world because they're doing yet another ECW reunion at the Armory and I think April or something like that. But, geez, I can't take it anymore. They need to cut it out with this ECW invasion rehash, remix, reunion, whatever nonsense. Cut it the fuck out. You're old. And there's people who are doing the same thing you used to do a lot better. So just because you come out, take a payday, and talk a bunch doesn't mean you can even come close to competing with the top caliber wrestling that goes on in the indies at this point. ECW was the innovators for a million things that goes on. But you know what? Let's fucking cut it out. I don't care. I really, really don't care. You wouldn't catch me dead in that building. So anyway, then Cody helps Kane and cuffs the Big Show to the ropes and then beats him with boxing gloves. And yeah. Then you had David Otunga, who's one of my most hated superstars in the WWE. And he's up against Santino, which is just tremendously entertaining. His walk alone gets a bigger reaction than fucking David Otunga's whole... Everything David Otunga does doesn't get anywhere near as over as Santino's walk. So, Otunga ends up winning with a horrible, horrible spine buster because Santino had stomped on Laurinaitis's pink phone. And then as he turned around, you know, Otunga hit him with the worst excuse for a spine buster that I've seen. And that was that. And boy, we just couldn't get away with another 20 minutes without a promo. So The Rock cuts a promo in front of the Rocky statue, goes on and on about how he loved Rocky, you know, when he was a kid. And they showed him as a kid. And there he was. And he was there as a kid, and I don't know what they're saying in the chat room. They're asking me what the fuck and whatnot. I know a lot of people like The Rock. I don't know if this is what you're commenting on, but yeah. So anyway, then he's standing by the Rocky statue, and there he is. He's just going on, and then he's talking about cheesesteaks. And I got to be honest with you, every single time we go to Philadelphia, we stop in Jersey right up the street from me at the German Butcher, and I get myself a German Butcher cheesesteak. You know, this is what a cheesesteak is. You know, I know everybody in Philly's all proud of yourselves with your little manwiches, but, you know, your little steak-em sandwiches. But it's not anywhere near the quality that you get if you get a German butcher cheesesteak or like a butchered. I mean, obviously it doesn't have to be German, but you go to somewhere that gets you get little chunks of steak, like straight up little strips of steak, like cut off a steak, and you get that smothered in cheese, not cheese whiz, not cheese in a can. Like real deal cheese, and you know, the sautéed mushrooms, peppers, onions, all just phenomenal stuff. You get that bread all toasted up, banging, man. I do that every time before I go to Philly. So I'm done with doing your cheesesteaks. It's garbage. I had Tony Luke's once, and it was the shittiest cheesesteak I ever had, outside of maybe like a Wawa cheesesteak, because that shit is far worse. But now I heard so much hype about it, and I went there and was like, seriously, this is what the buzz is? Like, do you guys ever go to butcher shops? Do you guys go to, like, anywhere that serves, like, good food? Like, wow, like, I don't understand how that did. I don't even understand how they started calling it a Philly cheesesteak, because I'm telling you, the ones at any butcher shop, probably anywhere in the United States, if they make, like, what I'm saying is, like, cut strips of steak and put that up in there, I can't see where you would call your little steak-em sandwich better. I can't do it. I know you guys are proud of yourself, but I can't do it. Refuse. So the hell with that. Anyway, so The Rock's proud of him too. And then he starts stealing, you know, old catchphrases, and he's doing the Macho Man, he's doing that, and he's doing this. I guess it worked for Jay Lethal, and he figured, I'm The Rock, I'll get away with it too. So whatever. Now, next up, you got Daniel Bryan or Zack Ryder. And it's amazing that it was just like a month or two ago that Zack Ryder was crippled like every single week for like 2 months. He was like thrown off the stages and through the ramp and off of fucking loading dock. And like, I mean, just they went from, you know, crutches to wheelchairs to neck braces, to everything in the world, to people fucking his girl, and like it just went on and on, just unrelenting fucking beating of this guy. And then all of a sudden, now he's just jumping around in the ring like nothing ever happened, and it fucking amazes me. So anyway, he hits one of those little gauge kicks but he doesn't go to the other corner. He just, you know, takes like a 3-step run, and hits the gauge kick in the corner, and and then he just Daniel Bryan more or less no-sold that, spiked him on his face, and hit the LaBelle lock finish, match over. So that's always fun, just for the sake of, you know, him getting no-sold and just jobbed out. Pretty awesome. And honestly, I don't know what they do with him now. Like, what's the plans with him for WrestleMania? Anything? Wow. A lot of people are saying they're getting no sound. I have no idea why that would be. I see you guys jumping in and out of the chat. I mean, try refreshing. That's the only thing I could say. I would imagine it's working. I've had this happen before, and people would refresh, and then they'd get back in. Still on the air. Definitely still on the air. So, just going to keep talking. Then they had Mark Henry kicking the shit out of Cena. And Cena ends up winning. Then The Rock comes out. It's Mark Henry with the Rock Bottom and leaves. And you got The Miz versus Sheamus, and Sheamus wins. I just really started to just lose my interest in watching this. all right. Then they showed a commercial that if you go on Kmart.com and you spend $30+ on a WWE merchandise, you'll be able to spend $75 on a steel chair with The Rock and Cena on it. I can't think of a better way to spend $75. Well, no, You got to spend $30 on something, a shirt or something else first, and then you can spend $75 because they won't just take your $75. They want at least 100 plus put down on WWE merchandise, 75 of it involving a steel chair with two people who haven't touched each other in a year on the steel chair. So that way everybody, you know. I mean, if anybody can hear me, you know, just type in the chat that you can hear me or something like that, so I know I'm not crazy and someone's hearing me out there. I'm not really sure. So people are all signing in and out, so I'm guessing everyone's having problems. Whatever you missed, I'm sure will be on the archive. I don't know why I'm saying this, because if you don't hear me, it doesn't matter. Brent hears me. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So then you have Zach Swagger and Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi and R-Truth. This, to me, was definitely match of the night. Great stuff. I like this match. I mean, you got four really talented wrestlers, one of which has, you know, the stupidest fucking haircut he could come up with and an enormous lisp. You can figure out which one of those guys it is. You know, they got the heel finish with Vicky taking Truth's foot off the rope so he can get the pin, and that was that. I would just, everybody else, you know, just let them know in the chat. Just keep refreshing because apparently, they had to switch to Google Chrome. Wow, maybe the browser has a lot to do with the different things that people are hearing and stuff. I'm learning more as I go. I don't know. It's retarded, though, because people should be able to hear me, for Christ's sakes. So anyway, then, you know, you go from that. Then they kick in because, hey, man, you just had a great match, you know, high-paced stuff, and they had to switch to the old folks segment to, really take the show home, to the old folks home. And you got Triple H and The Undertaker, and you got Shawn Michaels and his crooked eye. Oh, boy. So now you get the three of them in the ring, and they're just going on and on, and all I hear is just like, it was like the last 2 minutes of a basketball game that feels like it took longer than the rest of the entire fucking game. You know, when you more or less got Brent's saying he couldn't get anything but the British twat on Firefox. Well, it depends on if you like the British. It could work out for you. But anyway, you're more or less getting like this. It seems like it's taking longer than the rest of the entire Raw, and you get the three old folks in the ring, and they're just, you'll wait until I get you at WrestleMania. I'm better than you. We've been in the ring a billion times, and we've wrestled all the Hell in the Cells, and this is for all the marbles, and you might want to take a couple steps back because I mixed up my medications and took the Viagra before I got in here. So you're not going to want to get too close to me there, Mr. Triple Preparation H. You better step back, fella. I got no tolerance for you, and I left my miracle ear at home. So I don't hear what you're saying to me right now, but I don't like the look in your eye. That crooked eye of yours is looking at me funny. So you settle down. I know I could beat you in shuffleboard, I'll tell you that much. You'll wait. Next time we got the bingo boards and we're in the same room, it's not going to be good business. So they're just going on, and it's just, it fucking kills me. I can't wait till these people are just completely just gone from my TV. I hope they all retire, all of them. Like, now Michaels is retired, but now he's back on my TV just looking like a half-broken toy or something. Like, he's got that, like, if you've seen Toy Story 3, he's got that eye like the baby, big baby. He's got the eye like big baby. It's all, like, half-closed and fucking crooked. Like, he was dropped or thrown out of a car, whatever happened to big baby. And he's just looking for Lotso Bear to show him the way. And I don't know. It's ridiculous. But, so that was Raw. Can't wait for one more of these before Mania. I mean, I can't imagine how much more hype and excitement I'm going to get out of this next Raw. So yeah, we're definitely leading up towards that. That's gonna happen. Can't do nothing to stop it. All right. So I got the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla show to go over. I'm gonna try to review more shows. Try to watch more shows. Suggest some shows for people to watch. Obviously, I can't watch everything. I'd like to. I just don't have enough time in the day, and then I get home and I'm fucking exhausted. So I just, you know, sometimes I'll try to start watching something and I'm ridiculously tired. But then when I want to sleep, I can't sleep. Which leads me to another thing I wanted to bring up. I have ridiculous problems with sleeping, and I've been, you know, said all these different things, you know, and I've gotten a couple suggestions and stuff like that. And actually, I think it was Kim that said something about melatonin. And I didn't directly try melatonin, but came across this stuff that they sell in Walmart, and it's called Dream Water. And it's all natural, and it's got melatonin in it, and it's got, like, a couple other things that I don't know how to pronounce. And, see, my thing is, well, to be quite blunt, I drink a lot. So all these other little sleep aids and stuff like that just clearly does not work with me. It just doesn't. You know, I can't be taking some of this stuff and then, you know, have my liver shut down while I sleep. It kind of defeats the purpose of just trying to go to bed, you know, when your fucking liver fails on you. So I'm trying to steer away from that. So this Dream Water shit is okay with alcohol. You can vent and then take that and pass out. Do whatever you want. And you know, it's like a public service announcement. I'm fantastic with telling people, you know, how to live their life. Yeah, so get drunk and drink one of these Dream Waters. Or now, yeah, do whatever you want. But it works. I like it. So, yeah. Anyway, I did want to cover, too, speaking of Kim. Now, I've had this ongoing thing with this ECWA nonsense. And one thing that I definitely want, because I don't live anywhere near Delaware, to know closely what everything goes on. I know that this little sex offender taped the last show, even though the information came out. I had reports from a couple people saying that this guy was going to be off shows. He was no longer going to be filming the shows and all that. Well, we got the Super 8 coming up at the Girls and Boys Club. You guys, you know, you want to make a couple more phone calls to try to drill that point home, then, you know, give that Girls and Boys Club a call. Shit. What did I do with that number? I don't know if I have the number, but you can honestly Google it. It's in Delaware, Girls and Boys Club, Delaware, and I believe Newark, Delaware. And, you know, give them a call and just let them know that that's the type of person they're going to allow in the building and see what happens. If anyone could keep me up to date on, you know, whether this guy does film at the ECWA Super 8, because the pressure really needs to come on that. So anyway, I've been a part of, you know, recently, because I'm into indie wrestling, and I'm, you know, always trying to get, you know, opinions from other people and just hear, you know, what people are into and what they're enjoying and stuff like that. Well, there's a tremendous amount of, and it's funny because this is here's my issue with this. Like, when I got into it, I got into this thing with, you know, this Breaker moron and little Jason, his, you know, sexual deviance, and, you know, the quote-unquote matchmaker Joey of the ECWA. The first thing that came out of their mouths or fingers, whatever you want to call it, because they were typing, is that I'm just a one-sided, one-track-minded CZW mark. That's all I am. That's all I know. That's all. I don't know shit about wrestling. I did, yeah. And then on top of that, they'll also tell me, oh, to each their own. You're entitled to your opinion. But then by the end of that very same thread, by the end of that same comment thing, they're calling you an idiot, saying you don't know anything about wrestling. Oh, you're entitled to your opinion, but you don't know shit. So no, that you don't understand what that actually means. And that's the problem with a lot of these people. Now, there's the one that's like the Indie Roundup, and that's more or less just fucking ECWA just supporters, period. I don't know why you would call yourself Indie anything if you really don't care about anything else but one company. Why not just say, we are the ECWA fan club. We are the ECWA bandwagon. We are the ECWA, you know, we are just, you know, all we care about is ECWA. If you come in here and you say something that we don't like, we're just going to bash you because all we like is ECWA, and they can do no wrong. They're clearly the best, and no one outside of this forum will ever say that, but we will. They're just the ambassadors of fucking ECWA. So that's that. And, you know, it was brought to my attention that, you know, Kim went to one of the last ECWA shows. She came back and she gave her review, more or less saying that this show wasn't that good. It was boring. She had her son and his friend with her, and she just said, you know, even they were bored. And they're huge wrestling fans, and they're sitting at a wrestling show bored at the wrestling they're watching. So there were very slow-moving matches. It seemed like the matches took forever. She didn't just say none of these guys could wrestle. They fucking blow. Like, they have no knowledge of anything, and I only like WWE. Like, she didn't say any of this type of stuff. Well, the reaction that she got from this was, you don't know anything. You go back and watch your sports entertainment because this is what real wrestling is about. This and this and this and this. And I'm just like, you got to be out of your fucking mind. These people are delusional beyond delusional. And my advice, too, is just separate yourself from any group of people that are even close to like this, because they're the most ignorant people I've ever met. And I've never met them, thank God. But just reading what they type is the most ridiculous thing in the world. Like, you know, I had outlined, you know, yeah, I'm a CZW fan, but I also like Dragon Gate USA, I like Ring of Honor, I like Evolve, I like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is one of the best, if not the best independent company in the country, hands down. It's all the way over in California, so God knows I probably will never be able to attend a show, but they put on one hell of a product. They really do. CZW has been the company that I choose to attend on a regular basis and has been for all this time. But listen, I love indie wrestling. So if I hear, man, they put on a five-star match over here, I try to find it, whether it be on the internet or whatever. I try to find it. I mean, when I started watching indie wrestling, it was the whole tape trading thing. And it was the whole, oh, shit, did you see this match? All right, I'll lend you this. Oh, you got CZW. Okay, lend me that. I'll lend you this. And, you know, and I've seen tremendous amount of indie wrestling from the, you know, back in the day, USA Pro to, you know, the old Jersey All Pro stuff to all sorts of different things. Now, I can't tell you that I haven't seen any ECWA Super 8 matches that I thought were really good, because I have. But the statements that I made initially on ECWA is that the only thing that could even pass as a good show that they run per year is the Super 8. And it's comprised of a whole bunch of talent. And no, Brent. And then it's comprised of a bunch of talent that they don't have either the financial ability to or the just ability to book for the rest of the year. They might get one of those guys once or twice throughout the year if they're lucky. They run 13 shows a year, and somehow they have a whole Super 8 card, and the stars, the talent, the actual talent, like seriously, last year they had Rich Swann and Sammy Callahan. How many other times did they work the ECWA in 2011? How many? You know, one of your supporters fucking shoot me a message on how often, you know, and then they're quick to just go, no, oh, you like a CZW with all them light tubes. But we'll go out of our way to book, you know, that talent from CZW for our big shows because, yeah. And then they're like, well, it's not our fault we can't afford them every month. No, but it's your fault that you run around calling yourself the best fucking thing under the sun. And, you know, you run around, ours is the best, ours is the best, ours is the best, and one person can step up and just be like, hey, you know, I for one didn't enjoy the show, I paid for it, I brought people with me, you know, and they're more or less like, well, fuck off then, good riddance, And it's funny, too, because one of the people who was the biggest assholes to this woman in the little group was the same guy that was fucking completely on my side as far as he listened to the show against ECWA and their fucking assholes in the locker room and the people who were just, like, you know, threatening people, and then the other one who's, who's clearly a sex offender. And, you know, he was one of the first ones to just pile onto her and, like, oh, you don't know shit, good riddance, get out of here. Like, I don't understand how these people operate as human beings. As far as I know, they're all adults, but they surely don't conduct themselves like adults. Now, everybody is entitled to their own opinion. If you don't like the show, you should be voicing your opinion, because they're never going to do a better show if everybody in the crowd goes, well, that's the best thing I ever saw. Well, they have no reason to strive for better. They have no reason to try to do something better. That doesn't mean go out there and bash everything a company does, but the way a company improves is by getting criticism. I like this, but I didn't like this. I like this. I like this. I didn't like this. I didn't like this. Man, it didn't make any sense when they did this. Now, that company has a few things to go back and go, well, how can we make sense of that? Well, this fan wasn't happy. Obviously, you can't please everybody, but maybe we can throw something in the show that'll turn their heads and make them pay attention and give us more money, because these are people who are paying for our product. Now, if the first thing that, you know, your fans all pile on, and obviously you can't control the, you know, opinions of your fans or the way they conduct themselves, and, you know, this is a clear example of that, but you fans got to fucking look at yourself and, you know, realize what assholes you're coming off as. Because when there's 25 people in the fucking crowd, and, you know, they... 25, 50 people in the crowd, or whatever you guys got. Now, I mean, whatever. You can get 200. You can get whatever you're getting. So don't go, oh, he thinks we only have 50. Like, don't take one line out of what I'm saying and blow it up to I don't know what I'm talking about, because that's what you guys do. You have your opinion. You refuse to take anybody's criticism, and then you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. Really, how many fucking indie shows have you attended that didn't involve ECWA? How many different DVDs? How many different tapes? Let's go back to tapes. You guys old enough to know about tapes? If you are, how many fucking tapes did you go through? Fast forward, rewinding finishes. That, holy shit, did you see this? How many people did you bring over your house to turn on to new companies? Companies. Not one company, because I know nothing more than this. This is all I can watch. This is the best thing in the world, and I refuse to hear anything different. And this is what it is. This is exactly what it is. You guys are the most closed-minded people ever, and then you're the first one to tell somebody else they're that when they can work fucking circles around you as far as talking about wrestling. That's why stop with the fucking we're the indie this, we're the indie that. You're clearly on the dick of one company, and that's it. That's all you go there for. That's all it was created for. And you're just waiting for someone to walk in and go, you know, I didn't really like that. Get her! Like, that's retarded. They paid to watch the company that you love so very much. Apparently you want your little secret society of retards to just think it's good. That's all we want to hear. We'll kick you out of the clubhouse if you say you don't like it. Well, that's really cute, but that's why ECWA is not fucking over. It's not anywhere near the top 5 to 10 independent companies in the United States. Straight up. You guys could say that. Do you really, really think? Now, you know, put my preference aside as far as CZW, but they're definitely well, well above it. These guys are stupid enough to tell me ECWA is known in California and CZW is not. Really? They're not known in fucking California. Well, that's the stupidest fucking statement I've ever heard. Okay. So, then here's the other fucking beautiful statement. Oh, okay, yeah, we're the best. Okay, so you guys are seriously better than Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. You guys are seriously better than Dragon Gate USA, Ring of Honor, shit. Even go to, you're better than IWA Mid-South? And I know they're not really an active company right now, and you can say what you want about Ian Rotten's politics and the way he's run his company and stuff like that, but when he was doing 90-minute matches with CM Punk and Chris Hero in 2001, what have you fucking people done to outdo something like that? Historical indie shit. You just want to go, we created Christopher Daniels because he wrestled at a couple, he won 2 Super 8s. We put him over in 2 tournaments. Yeah, we did. So you ever heard of that guy that we made? He didn't make shit. He didn't make a motherfucking thing. So this is what I mean. This is what I mean. You guys are fucking close-minded retards. You go all out saying how you're the best, but you're not even looking at the other product to compare it. Because if you did, you would really have a lot of explaining to tell me why some of these guys are even fucking in the same fucking arena as those guys. Like I said, some of these guys are working, 13 years in the business. How come they never got booked in Ring of Honor? Why? How come they never got booked in CCW? They're right in the fucking tri-state area. They're not even a fly-in, and they're so incredibly talented, so much better than other guys in every other federation, but you ain't getting booked within a fucking car ride of a building. Not a fly-in. Let's not even get into fly-ins, because you guys are so known out in California that they're clearly flying everybody, you know, the SoCal Indies. Oh, they're flying half that ECWA locker room out, aren't they? Nah, not really. But again, let's just talk about what's within a fucking car ride that you're still not getting booked on. So you guys really need a reality check, and you really need to learn how to fucking talk to people, especially when you get down to it. You guys don't know shit. You really don't. And it's sad, because you get all this, you know, you get these couple guys that come in for your little Super 8 tournament, and then you go, okay, buddy, I hope you come back to our company soon. It was really nice watching you. Instead of saying, hey, that guy's fucking great, let me see what he's up to. And then go watch the fucking 5-star matches that some of these guys put on in other companies against other talent instead of the 4 guys that you booked from other companies that can work. Because seriously, when Atu, your superstar Atu, went into fucking Evolved, what happened to his ass? Low-key knocked his fucking head off in like 30 seconds. The guy was in space. Let's see when the next time Atu will be booked in fucking in Evolve. We'll see. Because he was just set up to get destroyed, murdered, no offense, no anything. He's supposed to be such a beast. He's so fucking awesome that the only thing they used him for is to cave his face in and send him home. So that's your talent. It's all good. It's all good, you know. It's, you know, I'm up for suggestions on indie wrestling. I love wrestling. That's bottom line. But you guys are really going to just be blind to it and just say, no, you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. Whatever. I mean, get over yourself. Seriously. Half of your supporters are complete frauds as far as wrestling fans and as far as legitimate good human beings, because, you know, clearly the one guy got exposed quite fast and now, you know, completely blocked from his, I can't even search him on Facebook to find if he exists. Man, you know, this is what happens when someone gets exposed. I never once got a direct message from him saying, hey, dude, what the fuck, you know, or, hey, that's not true. Hey, why are you doing that? Nothing. He knows what the fuck he's up to. And he knows exactly that he should have been exposed, and oops, curtain got pulled back. Isn't that a bitch? So whatever, dude. Got a big kind of grudge with that situation just because they continue to let this guy work and, you know, around kids, and that shit ain't right, so. But yeah, these people are dumb. So anyway, what else do I got? Well, I definitely got the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla show to go over, and I got to talk some football. I think I'll play another song, give my voice another rest, and then after that, I'll hit all my other topics and do that thing. Here's some Slaughterhouse.
You're in the mix. In the mix. In the mix. In the mix. With DJ. White Owl. Make some noise. Some noise. Make some noise.
Yo, I want to see you. My real name, my rap shit. shit. No made up nigga, I'm straight up nigga. Still in the projects where I came up, nigga. On the scaffold doing 10 sets of 10, getting my weight up, nigga. I'm no shooter, but my shooters that have your brain exposed. But I'll shoot 5 in a second, homie, and break your nose. Talk the past, I'm dead ass. I was living life fast with my pistol in the grass. Digging in my ass, trying to finish up the last so I can sit it in the stash. OE sweat dripping from the bag. Milk crate sitting on the ass while I'm looking left and right for them niggas with the bag. My mom's dishes really had crack on them. 12-12s and I kept them shit packed for them. Yeah, they came back for them. I could paint it so vivid because I really lived it. If rap fail, I stack kale and show you how to
I'm
shit.
In the club, bottle in hand, doing my booster. While I got my gun in my pants, call it the
hammer dance.
Been dancing on a nigga when they feel the gun. I tell them we doing the
hammer dance. Stepping with my weapon on. You good? I'm just checking, homie. Got this gun in my pants, doing my hammer dance.
These LA times, I wake up all one. House slippers and coffee, I know the paper gon' come. I drop shit to make the gangsters go dumb. Keep a bad bitch naked like my waist with no gun.
I'm for real, how are you?
Got street power, from the watchtower to how are you? How would you become me? I don't do what you cowards do. Flip 1,000 pounds of that sour D's in an hour, dude. I'm out my motherfucking mind, fuck a punchline. Salute my motherfucking grind. Ditching feds on the regular, they tryna catch a predator. Not the Chris Hansen type, but the Danny Glover kind. I'm a killer, everybody know I body yo, audio. When the shoddy blow, say goodbye to your body, yo, you mighty gold. You don't think that I'm about this ice grill, nigga? Put your money where your mouth is.
I'm in the club, bottle in hand, doing my two steps. While I got my gun in my pants, call it the
hammer dance.
Been dancing on the nigga when they feel the gun. I tell them we doing the
hammer dance. Stepping with my weapon on. You good? I'm just checking, homie. Chance while I got this gun in my pants doing my hammer dance.
DJ, why my real name, my rap shit. Fuck with Jace, but the real bank is the mattress. Money ain't new to me. Been getting D-stacked. This move B took his shorty back from rehab. Knife work with me, but the chrome is extra. Case I'm in the same taxi as the bone collector. Y'all rapping about models, I get hounded by them. Not a killer at all, I'm just surrounded by them. Just a real nigga. Straight from my mother's stomach. Ain't enough cloth for all of us to be cut from it. Not decided by who so fled. Cause all of us to be angels for Pujols bread. Lot of hostility. Hollering is killing me. Screaming over my dead body like it's not a possibility. All my jerseys bullshit, never mind me. But if it's ever problems, niggas know where to find me.
I'm in the club, bottle in hand, doing my two steps. While I got my gun in my pants, call it the
hammer dance.
Bitches dancing on a nigga when they feel the gun. I tell them we doing the
hammer dance. Stepping with my weapon on. You good?
Yeah, man, some slaughterhouse. So I guess before I get into the Dragon Gate thing, I do want to talk a little bit about the stuff that's going in football, man, because for real, man, so much has transpired. I mean, you had everybody wanted Peyton, man, and you know, we were definitely in the running to get Peyton Manning, and I never thought that was going to happen. I thought, well, shit, man, we held on to Alex for all these years, and he just continued to be horrible, and then last year had just best year of his career. Really seemed to click. Him and Harbaugh, you know, were able to put some stuff together with the offense, and just really Alex just came through. He busted his ass, and I was like, wow, you know, it's still hard to get him over with me after being horrible for so many years. But man, I'm behind him right now, and I'm good with it. And then all of a sudden, it turned into, well, we might be getting Peyton Manning, and I'm like, I honestly can't say that I wouldn't have been fucking hyped through the roof if we got him. He's a legend. I mean, he could retire today, and he's still a legend, first ballot Hall of Famer. So, no problem. I would take him anyway. And honestly, with our current team, if we got a 5-year contract, I honestly am pretty confident that I think we could win 2 Super Bowls out of that 5 years. And I don't think I'm just being overly confident. I think we have a brolic ass team that we could very well win a Super Bowl with the team we have, let alone adding Peyton Manning throwing the football to, Randy Moss returned to the league, and where did he sign?
San Francisco.
That's right. And the guy who, man, if the Super Bowl MVP was judged off of one play that helped win the game, I would have to say that the MVP would have to have been Mario Manningham. Who, where did he just sign with?
San Francisco.
Of course he did. So now you got these two tremendously talented wide receivers, and Randy Moss has been through a lot of, you know, being a dick and just really not conducting himself like a, you know, he's one of those guys. He's one of those Randy Moss, the TOs, the Chad Ochocincos, da-da-da-da-da-da. But he's also been bounced in and out of the league. So I think there's a great chance that this has humbled him enough where he's going to be a viable guy in the league. And with a guy like Alex, you know, who's just looking for guys to throw to, I mean, they have one of the best tight ends in the league. I think you're looking at some really, really big stuff with him. Alex, he had some pretty good targets, but nothing like Mario Manningham and Randy Moss. And, of course, you know, also retaining Vernon Davis. I mean, you know, they got him still. They got they just retained Ted Ginn, who was really the reason, like, he went out of the game. And his backup made a couple really terrible plays and crucial things that helped them lose to the Giants. And who knows, Ted Ginn was in the game. You can speculate all you want, but, man, it could have been us. That's all. And, you know, we retained every single bit of that beastly defense. We did not lose a single player off that beast defense, and that's what it is. That starting D is the same starting D you're going to look at next year. Our offense is pretty much the same. Lose a couple guys here and there, but nothing crucial. And adding Randy Moss and Mario Manningham. So, tremendous. I am so hyped for next year. I'm all in. And you got that. Peyton ended up signing with the Denver Broncos. So, and I'd put it up there and saying, I don't give a shit who they signed. The Denver Broncos aren't winning the Super Bowl. They don't have a strong team. Their team got in because that division is horrible. And they'll get into the playoffs. I mean, you got the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Chiefs. They could beat out those three teams to get into the playoffs with Peyton Manning, but their team isn't strong enough to, I don't think, exit the AFC in the playoffs. And if they do, you're going to meet a much stronger NFC team in the Super Bowl. It's going to take a lot more than just Peyton Manning to make that team a viable Super Bowl contender. They don't have enough weapons. They really don't. They have Peyton Manning, and if you remember towards the end, man, a lot of what made Tebow the guy that Tebow was and made so many plays, he had no options. He had no open dudes, and he had to take off. He had to make a lot of moves. He's a very mobile quarterback, and that's what got a lot of wins for Denver. Peyton Manning ain't doing none of that shit. He ain't doing none of that running. So if this guy with his four neck surgeries gets rushed like fucking Tebow was, good night, all over. It's all over. So they can sign him for all of that goddamn money, and it doesn't matter, because if they can't protect that guy, then he ain't making it through 5 years. So that's all good. And, I mean, it's just you need a lot more than Peyton Manning. So obviously good for them, but I think they were kind of better off with Tebow, because Tebow, you know, while he may not be Peyton Manning, he was mobile. He was getting a lot of support behind him, and he was also a young guy who can do tremendous amounts of things in his career. They can, over the time, build a team around him. Peyton Manning, you got a five-year window tops, and 5 years is being actually pretty generous with a guy with four neck surgeries who was out an entire year, career almost over an injury. And yeah, he's Peyton Manning. He's one of the best offensive minds in football, but you know, convert that into a whole team is going to win because of him. You're asking for a lot out of this guy. You really are. So, so that's that. Well, that leaves Tebow. Where's Tebow going? Oh, yeah. He's a Jet. So, I don't know. I have a feeling not only will the Jets choke now, they will be choking on the body of Christ wafers instead of just the air that they normally choke on. It's kind of crazy because being over here in Jersey and all of that, the fans, whether they're Giant fans or whether they're over there with the Eagles or Giants, Jets, Eagles, I mean, all of these fans, you know, their fans are brutal, just crazy, fucking crazy, vile fans. They're not civil human beings. So him going to the Jets and being like super, you know, super Jesus guy, man, he's going to have a hard time pleasing these fans if he's not doing well, because you fucking bum and all this bullshit. Man, over there in Mile High, I think they're a little more polite about fucking letting him grow, but man, they are night and day. They will hit that switch on you, and you're their worst enemy. So we'll see what happens. I guess I wish him luck, even though I'm halfway through the season, I'm going to hate his guts, because I really hate the local teams. I can't stand hearing from them. And the Jets were actually the one that bothered me least, because I knew they would choke and die off before the end of the season. If not, you know, if they made it to the playoffs, it's usually like a, you know, it's usually, I don't know, first round or second. They're pretty terrible. So, you know, and the Jets, the thing about the Jets, too, is they're always the team that'll build you up and they'll make you think they could do it. And then they'll fucking shoot their hopes in the face. That's Artie Lang had made a joke, and he had said, he said, I think it was his father or his uncle had told him, and he said, I used to be a Jets fan, and then I kind of got into girls, so I wasn't as much of a Jets fan, and then I realized, you know, the girls aren't always going to fuck you, but the Jets will always fuck you. So he wound up being a Jets fan again. You know, it was like that type of joke. I mean, it's been running for that long that they are just kings of the choke artists. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Tebow, Mr. Comeback Kid, we'll have to see. But, yeah, that's that. And then Sanchez is going to be, I mean, they just signed him again. He's going to be, I think he's like the sixth highest paid quarterback in the league or some crazy shit like that. So if he's going to be a backup, the sixth highest paid guy / backup quarterback, like, that's something else. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot that's going to have to change there, and God knows how that's going to come out. So, yeah, that's just a few things I wanted to touch on. And, well, that's that. So. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Kurt Russell Reunion 3. Watch this. And, before I get into that, New Orleans Saints. Their coach is suspended without pay for a year for them putting bounties out on people. And their defensive coordinator is banned from the league. This is a tremendous thing. I've never seen anything like that. You have all the Saints fans going nuts, but they were straight up paying people for hurting people. He's fucking Sean Payton is banned for a year without pay. So that tremendous Saints team now has to play under an interim coach for an entire year. I don't think it's ever been done before in the history of the NFL. Have a coach been banned for an entire year or suspended for an entire year without pay. So, it's some pretty big news. It was another thing I definitely just didn't want to miss mentioning is there was such a superpower until, you know, a certain team took them out of the playoffs. Who was that team? Oh!
San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, that's the guys. So, anyway, I mean, good luck without your coach. Jesus Christ. I mean, last year, he you know, they busted his knee and he was coaching from the bench. And I guess, you know, he's going to have to coach from his couch this year because he's beat. So that's cool. It happens. I mean, you can't do stuff like that. But, yeah, Kim saying rumor has it Breeze wants out, I mean, that would be enormous blow to that team. I mean, you're talking complete rebuilding. Drew Breeze is the star in that team. He's just a tremendous quarterback, one of the top quarterbacks in the league, hands down. I mean, top three. And top three to four, I mean, yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to give that to him. So, anyway, yeah. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Kurt Russell Reunion 3. A lot of these guys, because I haven't been as in tune with this, I've read results, I've looked at stuff, I've seen a match here and there, but I really haven't watched, like, a full Pro Wrestling Guerrilla show front to back as in-depth as I did this one. So, figure out, you know, give this a review. The first match was the Fightin' Taylor Boys versus Famous B and Chris Cadillac. The match started out a little sloppy. At one point, this Cadillac kid does a shooting star cannonball into the corner. I thought that shit was cool. This Cadillac guy, I've never seen him before, but he seems a little off. Like, a lot of his offense was just off from being crisp, but really good. Like, he has a lot of assets as far as, like, offense and just stuff he could bring to the ring. Really exciting moveset out of this guy, but... And it could have been just this match. I mean, he could be perfect every other match he's been in. I can only judge by this one. But his offense just seemed like a little off, just a little bit on the sloppy side. But, like, he's got, like, some serious talent there. I think he could do a lot if he just kind of, like, works his shit to be a little bit more crisp. And, again, it could be just this match. I don't know. But, yeah, they hit Fightin' Taylor Boys did a variation of the Canadian Destroyer, like an assisted Canadian Destroyer. It was a pretty okay match. And that was that. The BB Hulk went up against Jimmy Susumu. Yeah, I'm not going to get into this crazy Japanese stuff. It's So anyway, Jimmy won with like a butterfly head drop, kind of like a J-Driller or Tiger Driver type thing, but he more or less just butterfly into just dropping him on his scut. Like, it was sick. Great match. I really like BB Hulk. Obviously, you know, I discussed in the past that, you know, he kind of, you know, didn't want to take a picture with me type thing after the Dragon Gate CZW show, the 1 month, I think that was November or something like that. But, you know, so I was kind of upset like that. But, you know, because I always like the guy's work. I think he's fucking tremendous. Very exciting. I like guys with a good arsenal of kicks. And he's definitely got an arsenal of kicks. But, yeah, great match. Regardless of whether you took a picture and moved me or not, I'm still an enormous fan of BB Hulk. And, yeah, just great stuff. You know, looked like Hulk had it won. Jimmy came back with a couple lariats and, you know, ended up finishing it with that butterfly joint. Yeah, I like that match. That was crazy shit. Then you had the Young Bucks taking on Davey Richards and Harry Smith. It started out with a lot of isolation on Nick, just beating him down, and, you know, then eventually you get the tag over there. And, you know, they worked a lot of heel gimmick or whatever on the side of the Bucks, and Young Bucks ended up winning via, like, low blow when the ref wasn't looking to hit the more bang for their buck, you know, double high flying move joint. So you had that. It was pretty good stuff. Not the best match, but what can you do? Too much, you know, heel work and just too much, you know, a lot of it, the tag team psychology. It's kind of like a slippery slope because you're doing the right thing in the ring. You're doing stuff that completely makes sense. But a lot of times when you lean too far into it, it takes a lot of the excitement out of the match and slows the match pace down a lot. It's just something that's always kind of hasn't always gotten over the biggest with me, but I understand the reasoning behind it. And it's some stuff you just need to do it to build angles and do different storylines. So anyway, next up you had Naruki Doi up against Willie Mack. Willie Mack's going to be in Best of the Best this year. I'm looking forward to that. Never got to see the guy live. Yeah, man, Willie finished this match, kicked out of three huge top rope elbow drops. Doi just hit three enormous impact fucking elbow drops off the top rope, one after another, and he kicked out all three, out of the three, and then one with a Chocolate Thunder Bomb, which is, I mean, crazy fucking sit out power bomb. It comes from like behind his head. Great stuff there. I thought that was a pretty good match. Looking forward to seeing him live. Next up, you had it was a eight man. Yeah, an eight man. It was Peter Avalon, Demas 316, Ray Rojas, and Joey Ryan versus Cedric Alexander, Candice LeRae, B-Boy, and Mascarita Dorada. Again, I haven't seen a lot of these guys before. Obviously, I've known B-Boy and Joey Ryan. I've seen Candice a few times. I believe I've seen Cedric Alexander a time or two. One thing that definitely stood out was Mascarita Dorada is a fucking unbelievable midget. I'm not trying to be a douche by calling him that, but it's just, that's what it is. They had midget wrestling back in the day and all of that, and it's just, he's a little luchador. The guy looks like a tiny Power Ranger. And he just he's got tremendous fucking speed. He's really fucking good. I like this guy. I'd like to see him around. Maybe, make some kind of East Coast tour or something. Because, man, he can lucha his ass off. And, yeah, he took some great little bumps there. He just did some really, really crisp and quick high flying and just chain wrestling stuff. Real good stuff. I enjoyed his work quite a bit. They ended up winning with a Shining Wizard moonsault combo, and great match. It was really exciting. A lot of it had to do with Dorada's work in the match, and Cedric Alexander looked great. B-Boy, it's good to see him again. Haven't seen him in a little while, and yeah, it worked really well. A lot of good stuff. Then you had the Blood Warriors. Seema and Ricochet taking on the Rock Nest Monsters of Johnny Yuma, Johnny Goodtime. Great match. A lot of quick moving, high impact stuff. Obviously, two really, really good tag teams. Rock Nest Monsters ended up winning with a backpack cannonball, which is more or less like dude putting a guy on his back, hitting a move on top of the guy on the mat off the top rope. So, pretty cool finish. Never seen that before. Great match. Liked it. Then you had Masaki Mochizuki against Roderick Strong. Pretty good match. I was starting to get a little bit tired, so I wasn't as super into the match. But he won with a crazy combo down the end. Mochizuki won with this combo down the end. It was a good match. Again, not the best match on the show, but good. Next up, you had a six-man. You had El Generico, Pac, and Yoshino taking on Steen, Super Dragon, and Akira Tozawa. Super Dragon got fat as shit. Dude, I had seen a full Super Dragon match. I seen his comeback thing, and I really, but he got bad as fuck. So I'd like to withdraw my request for CCW to bring him in until he does some motherfucking cardio or gets on a motherfucking treadmill for a while or something. He's got to do something because right now he's bad as hell. And I kind of think when they brought him back, they tagged him up with Chaz Bono because he was one of the only dudes on the roster in worse shape than him. Straight up, Kevin Steen has fucking camel toe. That shit is ridiculous. His fucking shirt is tight as shit on him. You just see crazy pregnant bellies type stuff. They both look pregnant as hell. And then, I don't know if he let that Super Dragon suit out or anything. He should have, because, that shit is tight. And then, I'm telling you, I don't know how he worked that out, but Kevin Steen is living up more and more to that Chaz Bono moniker I gave him, because the motherfucker's got camel toe. Pretty gross. He ain't doing no kind of treadmill. He ain't doing no kind of treadmill work. I can tell you that much. That dude is eating. That motherfucker is eating. So, but yeah, And yeah, more or less, the match ended up ending, you know, with Pac and Yoshino just, you know, doing ill double team on Sting, and it just looked like they were assaulting a Walmart greeter. It just did. I mean, the fucking guy is so out of shape, it just looked like they attacked the fucking guy saying, have a nice day at the fucking door of Walmart. It was ridiculous. But, I mean, great match. I mean, Generico always does phenomenal things with the fat guy. And, you know, Super Dragon, he puts in good work and stuff, even though it's not in the gym. And, yeah, I mean, the match was good. I mean, don't get me wrong. And Pac is honestly, in my opinion, I want to say the best high flyer in the business right now. I could be off. I could be wrong. I definitely, you know, there's definitely a couple other guys who deserve that at least acknowledgement as, you know, possible best. But I think all-around best high flyer, I kind of want to give that to Pac, man. He is just tremendous. Yeah, well, Pac ended up winning with the twisting star press, John. And that was the show. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. So that's if you want to go out there, you know, check out a show, exciting stuff on it. You know, take it from a one-track-minded CZW fan who knows nothing else. And, yeah, go check out Kurt Russell Reunion 3. PWG put on a hell of a, you know, put on a hell of a match. They definitely put on a hell of a show. And they got quite the talent roster over there, so you pretty much don't expect anything different from those guys because, yeah, they definitely put it on. So, I think I'm going to wrap the show up soon. I've done a solid 2 hours by myself. I'm pretty happy with that. I like to also, you know, put out there, now this is, you know, a little bit of different stuff, a little bit of stuff that I'd like to get into, you know, in the future. Anyone can send me questions about anything. I don't give a shit. I'll give life advice, relationship advice. I actually give pretty good advice, even though I might not, you know, conduct the perfect life or anything like that. And I'm not saying, hey, I'm some kind of therapist or anything like that, but, you know, sometimes you just need a different opinion from someone you don't fucking know, or you just, hey, man, just give me your opinion on this, and fuck, maybe you'd be like, oh, that guy's a fucking idiot, or maybe you'd be like, oh, that's a good point. You know, I like to talk about random other things. So, you know, shoot me questions, fucking advice, fucking whatever. I'll, you know, try to be funny or, you know, at least somewhat entertaining with it, throw some stuff around, you know. Anyone that would like to be part of the show, you know, again, next week I'll be back to taking calls. Anyone wants to call in, shoot the shit, talk on any topic, you know, across the board, from wrestling to anything. I don't even care. And, you know, I will have guests on, and we'll be doing that. A few ideas, different things I'm going to do, maybe like a guest host, bring in someone just, you know, do the thing, go over all the stuff that I already planned on going over, and just, again, having another opinion on it. Again, I got to tell everybody, anybody who would like a shirt, you shoot me your address, and I will shoot you a shirt. Simple as that. Well, not shoot you a shirt. I don't have one of those cannons. Although I am considering the option of putting it in Balls Mahoney's mouth and allowing him to vomit shirts across the United States to all of the people who listen. But then you got to wash the shirt immediately, and I don't know. There's a few difficulties to that, so I'm not really, you know, not sold on that idea just yet. So, again, you know, shoot me content, shoot me whatever you want. You know, you want me to hit a topic and see what I think about it, see what I want to say about it, shoot me a message during the week, and, you know, I'll do my best to get to everything. You know, as always, I try to stay interactive with the chat. I try to cover all the things I can. So, by all means, hit me up, suggestions, comments. You know, like some shit I do, tell me. You know, I might not listen to what you're saying, but I'll definitely read it. I'll take it into account. You know, whatever. It's all a building process. I have a lot of different things to do with this show. I'm just going to try to make it better and better. I am working on, little by little, the descriptions on my past episodes, which was another thing that should have been done a long time ago. But eventually you'll be able to go into the you'll be able to go into the archives and read down the list and see that, oh, I got this, I got that, here's the interview he did with such and such. Oh, here's the interview he did with this one. So that's, just something you'll be able to do. And we ran a lot of really good shows and hit a lot of different topics over time, interviewed all sorts of people, hit all sorts of topics, and some guys I haven't seen other interviews of. So it's worth a shot. So, getting questions in the chat right quick. Backyarders. Kim wants me to talk about backyard wrestling. There's not a whole lot I could say about backyard wrestling. People who are completely dedicated to that and think that that's the way to do it, and that's the clear cut, they're just as professional as anyone else, I think that's retarded. But a lot of guys who are tremendously talented started out at backyard wrestling. They did it when they were young. They figured out, man, Greg, we had on Greg Excellent last week, he started his own backyard vet, and they weren't doing so much the light tubes and the this and that, but they were just, a bunch of friends got together doing the backyard wrestling and doing some stuff, and enjoying themselves as wrestlers. Eventually, the state got involved with the different athletic commissions and the permits and all that stuff and shut them down. So they turned it into a legit company, which happens to be Groundbreaking Wrestling. They've been around for, about 8 years or something like that, and they're doing their thing. So, different people have started out that way, and they've turned into legitimate wrestlers, and give them all the credit in the world for that. But, the kids that are just like, hey, I'm just smashing my friend with the cinder block, and then I'm going to jump off the roof, and I'm just as good as Stone Cold Steve Austin, because I just am. I seen it, and I'm doing it now. Well, you're stupid. So, go out there, get yourself educated, get yourself into the school, get yourself on real wrestling cards. You can do it, if you're that into it, you dedicate yourself to it. There's no reason in the world why you can't make something real out of it. So that's my little run on the backyard wrestling thing. And then Brent, I know he's trying to be funny, asked me about what do I think about autoerotic asphyxiation. Well, David Carradine didn't work out for him. So, if it doesn't work out for him, I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it. So that's, I think, about all I got. If you got any other random questions, you can shoot it out. But again, like I said, hit me up anytime during the week. I'm a pretty easy guy to talk to, open to whatever. Hit me up on the shit and Facebook, you know where I'm at. And then, I think that's about all I got. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Get the word out. Like I said, the new iTunes link, everybody subscribe to that, so that way I could, I could get my listeners to continue. And I need more and more listeners. I'm going to continue to do what I can to, make this a successful show. I mean, there's nothing else I can do but keep doing what I do. So you guys can help me get the word out. I'll do everything I can to stay entertaining. And so that's it. That's this week. I'm going to check everybody out next week, next Thursday. And I hope you guys enjoyed. And good night.
I got you. Yakuza Kick Radio. This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, it's this right here. Every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
What's going on with you? This is Greg Excellent, the Bearded Dragon of the Northeast, and you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. And if you're not, you're probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it. Jason Mann.
Peace. What up? This is Eddie Kingston, last of a dying breed. I've been learning all the nicknames as well. But the bottom line is, you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, where my man keeps it thorough. You heard me? Keep it locked in.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.